Welcome, everybody, to our lesson today as we talk about an aquarium that offers interactive learning. And we have with us to discuss the subject today...
Simon.
Simon, what do you think of the subject? Is it an exciting one?
Well, actually, the title is a very interesting one to me because it talks about an aquarium offering interactive learning. And, of course, usually when we think of aquariums, we think of them as places where you are actually doing interactive learning all the time, right? You go to an aquarium to learn about fish. But when you're at an aquarium, you're not doing it out of a textbook or by watching a video. Instead, you're actually interacting with the different kinds of fish and seeing them up close and experiencing them that way. And so it'll be interesting to find out what this aquarium is doing to learn more interactively.
Well, an aquarium is a place that a lot of us enjoy going to, but I've asked my friends if they've been to aquariums, and you'd be surprised how many people have never been to an aquarium. Do you like aquariums, Simon, or not?
I do. I went to school for a while in Vancouver, and they have a wonderful Vancouver aquarium. It's got all kinds of different fish and things you'd find in the water and all kinds of ways to experience them.
Do a lot of your friends go to aquariums or not?
I don't know if people go to them all the time. We don't seem to go to them regularly.
No,
but
they have been there.
Most of the people I know have been to an aquarium at least once.
Yeah. Okay. And who else do we have as our panelists today?
We have Ellen.
Hello, Ellen.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And Ellen, have you been to many aquariums or not?
In recent years, I've been to more. I have a small niece and nephew, and they really enjoy zoos and aquariums.
It's a good place for kids, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, as Simon mentioned, it's a very interactive experience for them. And it's, you know, they don't just read it in the books, and they can mm-hmm. actually see it live. So it's fun for them, and in turn, it makes it fun for us, too.
Well, there's a lot of aquariums all over Asia. I mean, there's aquariums on the east coast of Taiwan. They have a beautiful one in Hualien. Singapore has great aquariums. And all over, you know, places like Shanghai and Beijing, they all have aquariums. What is the difference between an aquarium and a museum? Because we go to museums to see things. We go to aquariums to see things. What's the difference?
Well, an aquarium is mostly ocean life, so you'll see fish, you'll see whales, you'll see octopus. Museums is more, I would say, historical. It's more displays, not quite as interactive. It's usually nothing that's living.
That's what I was saying. The difference to me is that when you go to an aquarium, you see living creatures. When you go to a museum, you see things that used to live. And also you look up, you know, facts and see all kinds of things that were printed hundreds of years ago. But it's not that alive. To me, an aquarium is more mm-hmm. of an alive thing.
Yeah, to me, aquariums are similar to zoos, mm-hmm. except they feature animals you'd find in the water. I think museums can be pretty interactive, too. You know, I think about dinosaur exhibits I've seen and things like that.
Right. But the dinosaurs are not here, that's the thing.
But that's right, they're not living. And so
right, I kind of like
you
the living
You lose
one.
Something when they're not living.
Right? Well, like you said, though, it's kind of like a zoo.
Right.
It's like a zoo on the water and in the water.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to explain it. So let's find out more about this new technology that allows people to take a virtual field trip to an aquarium tank. What is a virtual field trip?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, if some of our listeners are students out there, they will definitely know what a field trip is. That's when a class or a group of students goes somewhere other than school to learn about something. And this idea of a virtual field trip, it means that instead of physically going to that place, the students are sort of seeing it, but they're not actually in the place. They're experiencing the field trip without actually going on the field trip.
Well, you know, we've talked about armchair traveling. People like to go armchair traveling. That means you didn't really go there, but you saw something on TV or you watched a video about it, and you feel like you've seen Paris because they explained everything about Paris. That's kind of like a trip. But is virtual any different than an armchair traveling or not?
I would say it's a little bit different in that usually there's more of a hands-on or interactive component to it. Where, you know, we'll probably learn a bit more today. What this aquarium is offering is you are able to have some, you know, some way to participate in the experience.
Well, the reason I mentioned that is because the very first sentence in our article tells us this is Idaho company has taken an armchair adventuring to a new level. So it's kind of a different form of armchair, just sitting there watching, but it's doing something about it, what you're seeing, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think traditionally when I've heard the word armchair something, you know, like an armchair historian, or there's all kinds
sitting of different... Sitting on the sofa, sitting on a chair.
That's right. There's all kinds of different ways we use this term armchair something. But generally when I hear that term armchair, I think of sort of a general term that means you're not actually involved
there
with it. Instead, you're kind of learning about
watching
it passively.
Right.
You might be reading a book. You might be watching a video, but you're not actually interacting in any way.
Well, that gives us a good introduction. So now let's look at our page 18, and let's take just the first little paragraph.
Aquarium offers interactive learning. New technology allows people to take a virtual field trip to an aquarium tank. An Idaho company is taking armchair adventuring and learning to a new level by letting anyone on the internet take command of a remotely operated underwater vehicle. The Live Diver device from ReachIn is now installed at the Aquarium of Boise. By logging into the aquarium's website, users can control a small mini submarine in the shark and fish tank to get a diver's perspective of the marine life.
Now, this company then is in Idaho. Now, Idaho is not on the East Coast or the West Coast of America. It's not a place I would think they would have something like this.
Well, yeah, an aquarium, you know, we're talking about marine creatures visiting basically a zoo for fish. And, of course, Idaho, for those of our listeners who have been there, you'll know it's in the middle of America, and it's surrounded by corn farms.
And mountains. People go there to have vacations, right? I would think of San Diego of doing this, or maybe Florida. What would you think?
Yeah, no, I think it's a very interesting choice of location for this, I guess, pioneering.
Right, yeah.
Pioneering,
but it is pretty ingenious.
But honestly, that might be the reason that they're sort of looking for innovative ways to present their aquarium. They're
That's not true.
One of the bigger, more famous aquariums, so they're looking for good ways to attract the public to the aquarium.
Well, and they're not on the ocean, so they might want to find out more about it. So maybe that's why they need to do that more. Who knows?
They are getting the press for it.
Yeah, right. But anyway, this is an interesting company. And what is the name of the company?
The name of the company is called ReachIn. They have been doing interactive, machines or robots for a while. This live diver device, which we'll be talking about and learning about today, is actually, it looks like it's either their second or third type of robot, type of interactive experience.
Right. So the company is called ReachIn, and just that name, ReachIn, what are you going to get when you reach in? It's a very interesting name, isn't it, ReachIn?
Yeah, it's a name that really makes people think about this idea of interactive learning, especially at an aquarium, where you actually would reach into the fish tank if you wanted to find out what was in there, right?
But you might get your hand bit by a shark if you're not careful.
Especially the shark tank.
But this idea of ReachIn is the name of this company, but the device is called the Live Diver. And I love diving, but sometimes you can't go and you don't have time. But wouldn't it be fun to be doing some diving without even going to the ocean?
Yeah, it would. And it's interesting, of course, because this particular device is a remotely operated device, which, of course, means it's controlled by a person who isn't actually there with the device. It uses a remote control. And actually, you can see some pictures of the device here on our layout, right?
It is pretty interesting. And tell us a little bit what you have to do. How do you get onto this website? What do you have to do?
Well, when I looked into it, you just put in ReachIn.
You have to log in, right?
Yeah, you have to log in and you have to register. I looked into the iPet Companion experience, and yes, you have to log in and register, and you're given, I think, two minute duration to interact with
really?
The animals.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm sure that there are thousands, I don't want to go into millions, but at least thousands of people who are probably would like to have this experience.
Well, after this lesson, I think there's going to be millions. Who knows? Because I think all of our people who listen to Advance are going to want to log in, so they're going to, maybe the computer's going to crash, who knows?
Right, right. Yeah. So it's an interesting idea that, you know, being in Taipei, you could interact with a cat or a fish that's, you know, somewhere in Idaho. That's kind of
it would be
very
interesting,
cool.
Right. Being any place, you know, wherever you are in the world. Is that right?
Yeah. And the interesting thing about this, of course, is this idea of making places like aquariums and zoos and museums more interactive. It's not a new idea exactly. Mm-hmm. And even this idea of having sort of a robot or a camera so you can see what's going on mm-hmm. isn't really a new idea.
No.
But at the same time, I suppose the idea of being able to control all of this stuff from the internet is definitely a newer idea.
Definitely. So let's read on. It says here there's put an eye on animals. In other words, to look at or watch the animals. Let's read the next section, the next three paragraphs.
Eye on the Animals. Rechin's first public access venture was iPet Companion, which let users play with cats in 13 animal shelters across the country by controlling robotic toys over the internet. The iPet Companion helps increase cat adoptions and shelter donations and provides an opportunity for disabled or sick people to interact with playful felines, said Rechin owner Scott Harris. At Seattle Hospital, children who cannot play with therapy pets because of their compromised health can go online and play with cats in animal shelters, he said. Last year, Wolfson Children's Hospital in Florida said it would use the iPet system to connect 162 hospital rooms to allow patients in isolation to play remotely with cats at the Jacksonville Humane Society. Kittens are fun, but Harris wanted to find other ways people could use the technology. Rechin's web-controlled submarine is the first of its kind, he said. Many zoos and aquariums have submarines that are controlled locally, but controlling devices over the web is an entirely different ballgame, said Harris.
Well, Rechin, this company, has different ways of trying to use what you would say virtual reality, not be there, but still be involved, still be interactive. And maybe, Ellen, you can tell us about the first thing that they did when they started out as a company.
Well, the first thing, we mentioned it a little bit earlier, the first venture that they went into was the iPet Companion, which is an experience for those who use the internet where they can play with cats remotely, which is over the internet, and they can control different toys that are in the room with these cats. That way they can kind of play around with the cats without actually physically being there.
Now that, I think, is probably the really special thing about this idea that you're remotely controlling sort of the toy or the device. A lot of our listeners will be familiar with the idea of a webcam.
Yes.
A web camera, right? Even ones that you can sort of move. I've used those before, mm-hmm. but I don't think I've ever used this kind of thing where you can see yourself as you're interacting or playing
right.
with the thing.
mm-hmm. right? That's very different. I never heard of that either.
It adds this whole new dimension to the experience because I've seen webcams that aren't all that interesting.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you get on the webcam and you turn it around a little bit and you see the light bulb.
See what's going on. What the traffic is downtown.
Yeah, the traffic
things.
Going by
yeah,
or whatever.
They have webcams, yeah. Well, this sounds pretty interesting. If you have your magazine with you on page 18, you can see a picture. These poor cats, I mean, people keep trying to make them play with objects that aren't there, and then you can see the cats trying to do it. I wonder if the cats get a little bit frustrated with that, and I would think so.
Yeah, because, you know,
everybody playing with them all day.
It's hard to control the public, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, but you can do that. Some of you might want to try that if you can see whether it works or not. I'm not sure, but they call this the iPet Companion. And what is the results of having, why would they do something like that? Does it have any good results?
Well, yeah, I think there are many reasons why this is great. It's it helps with increasing, we see it has helped to increase cat adoptions, because I think as more people have the opportunity to interact with cats, they realize, oh, these are fun animals.
Yeah, that's true.
So it has increased cat adoptions and even shelter donations.
What? There's a lot of kinds of shelters, aren't there?
There are. We use this word shelter, of course, to describe basically a place that protects you from the outside environment. But specifically, we sometimes talk about different kinds of shelters, like homeless shelters are charities that offer places for homeless people to stay overnight. Obviously, an animal shelter is a shelter where homeless pets kind of can go to stay until they find a new home or whatever. And I think specifically here, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about donations of money to animal shelters. And I guess the idea is that when people are aware of different problems or charitable causes, they're more likely to support that charity.
Right.
And so,
like you say, there's a lot of cats on the street. You see a lot of street cats, nobody taking care of them. And if you see them someplace and you're playing with them, you think, oh, well, isn't that a cute cat? I want to give some money to help feed that cat. It's more personal.
And if you didn't have that opportunity to interact with the cat, You'd maybe not think about it so much, and so you'd never make a donation.
Yeah, that's a very good idea, right? What do they call cats here?
They use this special term. It's kind of a scientific word. They say felines. It's that word, F-E-L-I-N-E-S. Mm-hmm. That's the plural, of course, for a cat.
Right. And so they started this, and the man that started his name was Scott Harris. And so he thought this would be kind of fun to do. And then the next column over there talks about in Seattle, at the Seattle Hospital, where they take care of children who have things like cancer or maybe they have some physical disability. And how do they use it there?
Well, they give the children who maybe can't actually be present with cats because maybe they have health issues. As Doris, you earlier mentioned, cancer. Some cancers, they really just can't be exposed to germs and to different things like that. So this gives them an opportunity to interact with the cats and the different animals.
Kids love animals. You know, I think it would really be nice if all kids could have pets. But so many people nowadays even live in apartments, and if they get a big dog, they have to put him in a cage, which is terrible, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have an opportunity. Kids don't have a chance to play with pets.
Right.
When I was small, everybody had pets, and they had yards, and their dogs and their cats would go all around. But nowadays they live in apartments a lot, and people can't do that. But kids miss out on that.
That's right. And this is a real problem. We know, for example, that when people are in hospitals, there are lots of programs that, you know, allow those people to visit with different pets like dogs and cats. And we know that that's very good for the healing of sick people. Mm-hmm. But here specifically, they're talking about people who have compromised health. And the idea there being that because of their sickness, they're not able to fight disease and germs the way they would be able to normally, like Ellen said. And so you really can't put them with a dog for fear that the germs from the dog would make them sicker.
Well, besides that, if you're in a hospital where sometimes they'll bring a pet through, that's just, you know, maybe not very often. But if you can do this and you can play with this, it would, you know, give you something to do when you're in the hospital besides watching TV, just playing TV. You could do this. Kids could do that in a kid's hospital anytime they felt like it. I mean, you know, it would give them something to do that was fun. Yeah. I think that would be great for hospitals, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, having not myself personally been in a hospital, but having been there to see family and stuff, you know, it can be a very dreary place. So I'm sure a little bit of, you know, just happiness and joy for these kids would make a huge difference.
Right.
That's right. I think it's probably pretty good for these animals living in these animal shelters, too. You can see a picture on the bottom left corner of page 18 of some cats playing in an animal shelter. But sometimes animal shelters don't look as nice as the picture.
That's right. They're
page,
in little cages,
right?
Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you see all these poor cats and dogs just kind of sitting, lying on their sides,
right,
in these cages with nothing to do. And
somebody playing with them would be fun.
That's right, having a place to play. And even robots, you know,
yeah,
to interact
right
with. It gives them something to do, gets them around and moving.
Right.
It's a good thing.
And the Humane Society is a society that's concerned about taking care of animals that people don't want, and they try to get homes for them and everything. And Jacksonville, they thought that's Jacksonville is a city where they decided to do that. But kittens are kind of fun, but Harris decided himself that he wanted to find other ways to use his technology. He developed the technology. It was fun, but there must be more things he could do with it.
That's right. And so they introduced this idea of a submarine. Basically, one of these robots can go underwater. And the idea here was that this remotely web-controlled submarine was the first of its kind. And so people had never really done this before. It does say that lots of aquariums and zoos do have submarines, mm-hmm, but those are controlled locally, meaning when you're at the zoo, you can sort of drive the submarine around in the tank. But you can't do it from home. You can't do it without going
no,
to the zoo.
I guess not.
At least you couldn't until Reach-In introduced this web-controlled submarine.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was really very clever thinking, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we've said that maybe Boise, Idaho is not a place that a whole lot of people will visit if you don't have business or whatever there.
Right.
But this gives them an opportunity to really just, you know, have people interact with these animals and
right,
and get to know this facility. And, you know, you could make it your next destination.
Well, it certainly is very different. So that what it says down here that they control this device over the web, and that's what's new, to control it on the web. So it's an entirely different ball game. Ball game? What are we getting ball games in here for?
Well, it's a very interesting idiom use there. Of course, there are lots of different games in English that have the word ball in them, like football, baseball, basketball. But the thing to remember is that all of those games are very different games with different rules, different situations. And so when we use this term, an entirely different ball game, what we mean is an entirely different situation. So it's as different as playing basketball instead of playing baseball.
Football. Right. Yeah. Okay, well, let's take the last paragraph.
Educational aid. While the Aquarium of Boise thinks the public will get a kick out of the device, its primary target is students. This is another hands-on, interactive learning way to promote science education, said aquarium biologist Nate Hall. We can go into classrooms anywhere in Idaho or the country, and the students can do a live session with me as well as drive the submarine.
Well, this aquarium in Boise, Idaho, they think that the public will really enjoy this. When you get a kick out of something, it means it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. But the primary target is not just for fun. There is another thing involved in it.
Right, and we see that Nate Hall, who is a biologist at the aquarium, says this is just another hands-on interactive learning way to promote science education. So it's not just for, you know, fun, but kids can actually learn through this experience.
Well, you know, we all like hands-on learning and interactive learning. That's why we think sometimes when we go to school, we have all these books, and we all have book learning, we memorize things, and we know, but we don't know how to do it or how to use it. So I think it's very popular and also very good way to learn is hands-on learning.
That's right, and it's interesting here because actually this is one thing that's kind of made aquariums unique. If you think about it, it's very easy for a museum to bring things into a school, to do a school program, because it's not living, right? And I grew up in the countryside, and it was pretty common to have animals in my elementary school classroom.
Really?
People would bring in like a lamb or maybe, you know, you'd raise baby chickens, things like that.
So
zoos can do that, but aquariums can't bring fish
in. Can't bring fish in very well.
But now they have the ability to do in-school programs, right?
Wouldn't that be fun in school to have one of those? Well, they didn't have anything like that when I went to school. You had too much book learning.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how long the shark would last in the classroom.
Not very long.
Without its water.
But this would be fun. And the students can do this live session. And they can drive the submarine. Wow, that would be a wonderful thing to have in school. The schools could be more fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially in this day and age where the students, they are so stimulated with cell phones, with iPads and all these things. Yeah,
like
video
that,
games that they need the stimulation. And this, I think, will definitely help them with their learning.
Well, this is a great idea, and we're going to talk about it more tomorrow. So be sure and be back here as we finish this article about this interactive aquarium. And thanks for being with us today. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.